Thank you, Heather. Heather was asked to do that job at the last moment, and yes, appreciate the reading. The reading was particularly difficult because we had to work out how to say the word M-A-G-I. Was it Maggie, Margie, or Margi, or something else? Well, Heather's clarified that for us, and we'll proceed with her... saying of the word. We're continuing our service today and continuing our series on the characters of Christmas. And as you might imagine from today's reading, the first character or the characters today, and as always, I always get this, I never managed to do it correctly. So let's see how we go. We're changing it.
Is it turned on?
Yes. And it's working. Maybe I didn't press it correctly. Thanks, Locke. Sorry about that. Today we're dealing with two sets of characters, the shepherds and the magi. The magi being the kings or the wise men, depending on your reading of the story. As I've mentioned, we're continuing the characters of Christmas, and we've had three Sundays already. In the first Sunday, Greg Mello took us through the account of Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth being the cousin of Mary, and Zechariah and Elizabeth being the mother and father of John the Baptist. Both were good people with a priestly background. Then we had Denise taking us through the story of Mary. Mary, who fundamentally was a young girl from a poor background, chosen for a remarkable task to be the mother of the Son of God. Then last week, we had Kay speaking to us about Joseph. Joseph was a common carpenter, chosen for a remarkable job, to be the father figure for the Son of God. Actually, last week I hadn't really thought about the idea that Joseph was the father figure. We're always told Joseph, of course, was not the father of Jesus, who was born remarkably to a virgin. But I've never actually thought through the idea that Joseph was chosen to be the father figure, to teach Jesus all the things that fathers would teach, to take Jesus' life from baby through to adult age, and to show him and to teach him as a father would teach a child. A remarkable task given to such a person who would appear on the surface to be just a lowly carpenter without anything else remarkable about him. This week, as I say, the people we're looking at are the Magi and the shepherds. We've already had the account from Matthew of the shepherds, and I'll read to you now the account from Luke of the Magi, and I'll read to you now the account from Luke about the shepherds and the angels. And this comes from Luke chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verses 8 through to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, which I always think is a rather obvious point. If you were sitting out there looking after your sheep at night, and an angel appeared, this was not going to be something that left you, oh, that's an interesting thing to see. And in fact, One might think that the angel should have been aware of this because the next verse says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will not be for all the people. Oh, sorry, that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds then returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. I was going to read the Magi story, but instead Heather read that to us. Two groups of people, very, very different, shepherds and the Magi. The shepherds lived nearby. The Magi lived a long way away. The Bible tells us one thing about where they lived. They lived in the east. Now, there's whole sermons put around the idea that they lived in the east. You'll be glad to know that this is not such an occasion. There will be no sermon on where the Magi came from. All that needs to be understood is that in contrast to the shepherds, they came from a long way away. They both received a message. For the shepherds, the message came via an angel. For the Magi, the message came via a star. The shepherds were generally lowly people in society of that day. They were out looking after the animals, whereas the Magi were probably very important people, hence the term king being associated with the Magi. The shepherds were more likely than not totally unskilled, born into shepherd family, doing shepherding type things. The Magi, because of their name, we know, were highly skilled in the tasks that they had before them. Shepherds almost surely were poor. The Magi almost surely were not, especially given the wonderful gifts that they had. And finally, the shepherds almost certainly were uneducated, whereas the Magi were educated people. That was their job, learning and trying to understand supernatural things. Very different. Just like Joseph and Mary were different. Just like Zechariah and Elizabeth were different from the others. When I was thinking about what to say today, the typical thing I would do initially would go to the internet or go to commentaries and think about the various accounts relating to the Magi and the shepherds. And those accounts, as I alluded to before, tended to focus on the esoteric. Where did the Magi come from? What was the nature and the meaning of their gifts? The shepherds, why were they there then? Why were they chosen? Etc., etc. And as I thought about it, it dawned on to me that those things are just rather superficial, not key parts of the story. Did you listen to the children's story today? That got it right. It emphasised one thing, and that's what Christmas is all about, one thing. The thing is that Jesus came, the Son of God came as a human. And Jesus came not for specific individuals, not for the Jews only, not for the Babylonians only, nor did Jesus come just for groups of individuals, males rather than females or something like that. As can be seen by the characters of Christmas, he came for everyone, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, the male, the female, the young, the old. And that is the message of Christmas. And in a sense, that's the message perhaps I should sit down now and leave with you. But as always, there's more to be said. But in a sense, if you remember nothing else, then remember this slide. Have you ever tried to compare the Christmas account in Matthew with the Christmas account in John? Have you ever tried to compare the Christmas account in Luke with the Christmas account in Mark? Trick question, you can't, because there is no Christmas accounts in John and Mark. The Magi is mentioned by one, but not by the other. The shepherds are mentioned by one in Luke and not in Matthew by the other. It's as though in some eyes the whole Christmas story isn't perhaps that important. John summarises it like this, and again the children's story is very much consistent with what I have to say. See, John was all about telling us about the life of Jesus, but not in a historically accurate way, or in an accurate way, but not in a chronological or a detailed way, but in a way which expresses the meaning behind what Jesus was, is, and said. John does not tell us about wise men, doesn't tell us about mangers or anything like that. But in John 3:16 through to 18, he more or less summarises, I think, what he saw as the meaning behind Jesus' birth. This is the message of translation of John 3:16 through to 18. And this is John telling us about the birth of Jesus, not in terms of actual events, but in terms of its meaning. And it's a quote. Jesus is actually saying these words. "This is how much God loved the world, that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." Everyone. No one needs to be left out. God gave his Son. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is John giving us his understanding of what the Christmas events were all about. But let's dig a little bit further now. Let's dig a little bit into the events surrounding Luke's account of the shepherds that we've just read. What was the situation? Well, again, verses 8 to 9, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Again, emphasising the everyday nature of people or the characters at Christmas. They were everyday people doing their work. And obviously, in the darkness of the night, when looking after their sheep, they were terrified when suddenly an angel in all its glory appeared to them. It's important, I think, to know that the first announcement, the first time anybody other than maybe Mary and Joseph and probably Elizabeth knew about the birth of Jesus was to the shepherds. Not to the three kings or not to the Magi, but it was to the shepherds. The announcement wasn't in the newspapers. The announcement, if there was TV, wasn't in the TV. The announcement wasn't to the important people of the day, such as Herod, which we read about later. But his birth was announced to the ordinary most people in the society. And when his birth was announced, there were three S's accompanying that announcement. There was a sermon from the angels of the good news that this birth was all about. The angels told the shepherds not to fear. Jesus was not something to be feared. Moreover, he was to bring great joy to everybody. The term born to you is an interesting one here. Born to you, the shepherds. Born to us in 2021, sitting here. It's a very personal thing, this birth of Jesus Christ. And it's a present reality. It's not a hope of something in the future or a bit of information about something in the past. It's present and it's real for every one of us. That Jesus is for us. The second S was the stable. I'm struggling here with the S's, but you'll get the drift. Verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. If they were told that there was a king that had been born, the Saviour, God's anointed one, and that person was in a palace or in some remarkably set up medical facility, there is no way that the shepherds would have been able to get to that person. But by being born and laying in a manger, he was accessible to all. And it was humility, that's the wrong word. It was a very humble situation. That's a better term. The manger was accessible to everybody, including the shepherds. And it was a very humble situation. Humility was a key feature of the setting of Jesus' birth. So there was a sermon, there's the stable that speaks of humbleness and accessibility, and finally, there was the angel's song. Suddenly a great company, right? So no longer just one angel, there was a great company of the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." Suddenly this bursting into song is in complete contrast with the two previous S's, the sermon and the stables. The stable speaks of humility, the song of much heavenly riches. The stable speaks of earth here, the song of speaks of glory on high in heaven. The stable speaks of a baby in humble surrounds, but the song speaks of an all-powerful God. This is the contrast that repeatedly we find in the Christmas story. We see the contrast in the people, we see the contrast in the situation, we see the contrast, in a sense, in the setting. The baby born in humble circumstances, also the Son of God. These were the messages being conveyed to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. When we break down this story, we see four parts. We see the shepherds receiving a message and listening. We see them being directed to do something and them doing it. The shepherds finding what they sought and then responding through worship. And finally, responding beyond worship, going out to tell others. And meeting Jesus, as the shepherds did, is very similar to each one of us who have met Jesus in our own lives. When I was 12 or 13, my mum and dad were regular churchgoers at this church, and I would be attending a church in the morning and in the evening. The evening services were generally gospel services and mainly about the second coming, it would seem, at that point in the church's history. Generally speaking of a fearful event, an event which, when it occurred, would mean those who had accepted Jesus would be safe and those who hadn't would not be safe. At the age of 12 or 13, that caused me a lot of fear. Right? At the age of 13, I was baptised in this church, but I wasn't a believer at that point. The leader of the church had come to me and said, "Philip, there's a number of young people have asked to be baptised, and I think it would be good if you were too." Right? And so I did. Right? But it didn't really mean much to me. Over the next few years, through to about 16 or 17, I kept on attending church, was fearful because the preaching still seemed to be focused a lot on end times. I was getting depressed because I just didn't seem to be able to live this godly life. Everything was a drama. It was just very, very difficult. I was going nowhere in my godly walk, so to speak. At the age of 17, I think this is probably similar to most children, 16, 17 seems to be a bit of a divide from going from youth to adult. I went through a very difficult period, all right? A period of really kind of despair where, despite my very best efforts, I never seemed to live up to what the Bible told me I should be living like or what my parents told me I should be living like. But something changed, and I can't remember what it was or why it changed. Where the Bible and church turned from what we might call fear to something a bit more personal for me, and the personable part was about the love of Jesus. I began to understand that the Bible and being a Christian wasn't about trying to be good, trying to avoid the consequences of being bad. I began to learn what the birth of Jesus Christ really was all about. That he came not to subject us to judgment, me to judgment, but came in love, as John 3:16 spoke about. It was then, at the age of 18, that I gave my life truly to God and accepted Jesus as my Saviour. When you see these parts here, receiving a message, well, that was me at 12 or 13. Searching, being directed, well, that was kind of like me, 13, 14, 15, 16. Finally, finding, and then responding. That was me, 18, 19. I'm now 63. What have I done since then? That's a subject of another sermon. But these steps are the steps that we all must face, whether we are Christian or not Christian. We'll receive the teaching, the story about who God is and what this Bible thing is all about. Maybe at Christmas time we'll hear about the Son of God. Where do we go from that point? Do we continue to follow, to search for the ultimate meaning like the shepherds did? That's a choice that has to be made. Many people will not. Having searched and found, will we at that point worship, recognise what we've found? Many people might not. And having made a decision, will we continue by telling others in response like the shepherds did? Many people might not. God be praised that to some extent I've continued through the response and each of those steps. The Magi. Digging deeper into the Magi. Who were they? Where were they from? And why did they come? As I say, subjects of very long sermons if you go to the internet. They were clearly people searching for supernatural knowledge or ability. They were from the East. That's basically it. That's all you really need to know. And why did they come? Well, they came with questions. These are some of the questions listed in the reading. There's probably thousands more that they had in their mind. But that's all we really need to know about the Magi. Keep in mind what we said at the start. The Christmas story is all about Jesus has come for everyone. The shepherds, Elizabeth, and the Magi. But think of the contrast now for a moment between the Magi and Herod. In what we've read, we read how the Magi were searching with excitement because of what they had understood was being meant by the star. Herod was searching for Jesus as well, but he searched in fear of the consequence that this was actually going to be the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. The Magi desired to worship, sit at the feet of this newborn. Herod, on the other hand, desired to kill, get rid of the threat. The Magi, once met Jesus, were filled with joy. Herod, as we'll read later on, once he understood the Magi had met Jesus, was filled with rage. The contrast between the two attitudes could not be starker. Where do we fit in this story? Well, almost surely somewhere in between. Right? We will not be presented with a supernatural sign, or it's unlikely that we'll be presented with a supernatural sign to follow to Jesus' birthplace, to Jesus himself. Neither will we be filled with rage at the thought of who Jesus was and the threat that he poses to who we are. Somewhere in between, though, we lie or we sit, but ultimately decisions have to be made as to which side do we believe in this baby Jesus or not that we lie on. The star led them to Jerusalem. Their search in Jerusalem led to Herod's palace, and then the star reappeared and led them eventually to Jesus in Bethlehem. I'm going to close now. The star with a thought on the star. The star was very specific to the events of the day, very specific to the Magi and their travels. We don't know what the star was, and in a sense, we don't need to know what the star was. But the star directed them to Jesus. In my life, there have been a number of people that have directed me to Jesus. Those people are, in a sense, like the star that we read of, directing the wise men. And so the question I pose to those who have been led by a star to Jesus, should we be a star to other people? Should we be thinking about how we lead other people? Final slide. What do we conclude? We conclude this, that in the account of the Magi and the shepherds, in the account of all the other events of the day, there is one clear message, and that is that the grace of God is for everyone. But as we see with Herod, not everyone accepts. Let's just pray, and I'll hand over to Kay and race off and do the Zoom meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the events of the first Christmas that we read about. We thank you for the fact that those events were witnessed by all types of people, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, male, female, it didn't matter. Those events were for everyone, and we praise you for the fact that those events are for us, sitting here 2,000 years later on. Father, help us to understand that the need to respond as the shepherds and the Magi responded. Help us to understand what we are responding to, and that is the saving knowledge or the saving sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this Christmas won't be like all the other Christmases, but it'll be a Christmas of meaning when we reflect not on the presents, not on the big meal and so forth, but we reflect on Jesus Christ, the reality of who he is, and the need to respond. And I pray that our response is accepting, as the Magi responded, as the shepherds responded to his call. In Jesus' name, amen. Song. Well, song now.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering all. And find me here, Lord, as you draw me near. I'm desperate for you, desperate for you. I surrender. Drench my soul, mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst, I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear.